thinking about buying or selling a house, or just want to know what's going on with one of your biggest investments, then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. We are sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, Eric Bloomstrand and Chad Preby with Bell Bank Mortgage, Structure Tech Home Inspections, James Tolson with Country Financial, Cregan's Construction, and Gray Duck Staging and Design. Joining me today, Jillie Jenkins. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're just getting to be a regular host now.
You can't get rid of me.
Awesome. Love having you in. And Chad Preby, as always.
Yeah, thanks. Woo-hoo. Thanks again. This is great to be here.
If you want to check out our past shows, you can go to TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. And there you'll find all the past shows along with all of our great free publications. And the Bricks Report is a really good one. Today we're going to be talking about housing trends, and we in the Bricks Report have a ton of those, except for that's very specific to the Twin Cities. Yeah. And we're seeing, you know, lots of dynamics changing all over the country with stats. I know we were just talking about you know, how long somebody's staying in their home on average, which you know, we're seeing that trend moving up. But yeah, if you want to download that, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com, you can download all of those great publications. As always, if you have any real estate questions about our Twin Cities real estate market or specific to your real estate wants or needs, you can give us a call, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019 during or after the show. So yeah, housing trends, right?
I love stats.
Yeah.
Stats is like the best thing you can do to know what's going on.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, Carly knows who's helping with the camera and board. She knows I love spouting stats. We're just talking about that last night. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, the numbers are the numbers, right?
Yep.
And we can feel what we want to feel and think what we want to think, but when the data comes out,
boils down to the numbers.
It boils down to the numbers, right? And the more that you know about that, the more you can take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Knowing what time of year is the best time of year, right?
Yeah.
Telling the story, I call it, like when putting on a listing, you know, what is the most likely buyers that are going to focus, right, on a property. So
yeah,
you really want to know, you know, what's going on with the market and who's in the market.
Right.
Because that's going to make a big financial difference as you're preparing for the purchase or sale of a property.
Right.
So
right. I just had a conversation yesterday, which I learned from hanging out with you guys, is we're in a seasonal market. You know, we're trending into the 1st of September, and things are slowing down. And this could be a better opportunity for the buyer right now to take advantage of some of these stats we're going to talk about today. But you know,
I got a client in on the first offer this weekend.
Very good.
It's like a miracle.
I have not had it.
I would say a Christmas miracle, but
right?
Not Christmas.
It's like
yet.
A fall coming up miracle.
Yeah. Well, it's. I did a stats video a couple weeks ago, and basically said, you know, the fair market time during the state fair tends to actually shift very rapidly to a more balanced market in the Twin Cities.
And we're seeing that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, saying that, you know, just one offer made on
first offer.
You know, and
that's awesome.
And they're ecstatic.
Yeah, we're definitely, I mean, you just went through the home buying and selling process, got to experience, you know, what the market was like and feel that transition.
Right.
There.
And it was quick. I mean, I think it was a matter of weeks or days when that market really turned. I mean, granted, it's still a seller's market.
It is.
But not as quickly moving. So we're not going to have that multiple offer situation. Or we will, but it's not going to be as aggressive as from what I found out.
It's going to be a handful rather than dozens of offers.
Yeah.
We were in such an unsustainable market. I think there's still some like PTSD going on coming out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is still a strong seller's market, honestly. It's just not unsustainable.
Average sale price is at 102% is kind of what we're seeing of list price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
And I think being strategic, right? Hiring your real estate partner, your loan officer, and having a plan. I know, Kirk, you and I had talked about pricing the house right. And it wasn't, to my wife and I, it wasn't the exact price that we wanted to get. But because
we always want a little more.
We do as consumers, right? We know that.
Nobody wants less.
But at the end of the day, because we didn't price it on the high end, we got more of an opportunity on the offer end.
You got exactly what you
were, we got exactly what we wanted and needed. Mm-hmm. So there's a house down the road from us that has been sitting with no offers because they ended up listing at a very high end and have come down, I think, about $50,000 now from the original list price. So being educated on your neighborhood, right? Each neighborhood or each community
like
in the Twin Cities
block
is different.
Places.
And that's, you taught us a lot with that.
Yeah, if, you know, depending on the market, but let's take this market for example. If you're not under contract within the first 4 to 5 days, you're probably losing 0.1% each day that goes by. So every 10 days, you're gonna get 1% less than the average of what other homes are selling for in your area. So pricing correctly is so important out of the gate because it's just gonna keep going down because it's that, well, what's wrong with it mentality that you see with homes.
All my buyers say that if it's been on the market for over a week, well, what's wrong with it? Mm-hmm.
What's funny is
there's nothing wrong with it. Right. It's just a different market than we were just struggling with before.
Right, right.
Yeah, I had a client reach out and they're like, well, you know, there isn't much out there right now. And they're looking at a pretty limited market of availability. I think I'm going to hold off until spring. I'm like, oh, no, do that because it's going to get bad again, right? You know, and that's for buying out there, you know, for sellers. My conversation is shifting because I was just in a meeting yesterday where she was thinking about getting the house ready and on in September or maybe October, but there was enough to do to get it ready. I said, you're going to be better off waiting until the end of February. Now, a lot of people might go, end of February? Why would I want to put on a house in the end of February? Well, that's when the market's really hot.
It gets crazy right after the Super Bowl.
Right after the Super Bowl, right. That is our spring market, and a lot of people don't realize that, right? But, you know, go to Minneapolis Association of Realtors website, and you can see that data is there. And the way you track it is you look at peak sale prices and then you backtrack that 30 to 60 days because that's when the offers came in. And you'll see that the hottest market is basically that end of February through May. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Right? It goes fast. And it's better to be on the front end of that market typically than as things are starting to slow down.
Right.
I always joke with my husband every year, March, April, I don't even have time to pee. It's just nonstop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this time of year, I mean, we can feel that it's a little slower than, you know. Now, last year, we didn't get the luxury of that because it's like our spring market.
It was a weird year
because
of COVID.
It was.
Mm-hmm. I was as busy in December last year as I would have been in, like, summer. Not spring, but summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have that. There was just a little, what I would say, winter market that was there for about 8 days in November.
I was going to say, it was like for a second.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, okay, let's say it's February and we still have, 2 feet of snow on the ground. We can't get an inspection of the roof. Foundation's covered up with snow. Are those hot points for people? Do we have to be concerned about that type of situation?
As a buyer, yeah. You definitely want to be, aware of being able to see that roof, be able to see that foundation. So make sure
the inspector will be able to look in the attic space, though.
For leaks,
For leaks. Okay. They're not going to be able to tell you how old the roof is necessarily, but at least know if there's a faulty roof.
Yeah, but for sellers, you kind of want to look past, you might have a beautiful garden. You might have just this great wooded lot. You might have all of this. And those are wonderful things, and you want to show them off in your listing, but you want to do it in a certain way. But holding off and waiting until it's green outside, and kind of my running joke is if you wait until it's green, you're going to miss out on some green.
Yeah.
Right? Because the hottest market, when things are moving, it starts, there's still feet of snow on the ground.
Yep.
It's smart to talk to an agent ahead of time, get your agent kind of on board with you, plan ahead, maybe get some spring, summer, fall photos so that you can have that option to list when it's still 3 feet of snow on the ground.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that meeting where we were talking about holding off till that was exactly my point, which was, let's get those photos shot in the next month before the leaves fall, so that way we can use them to highlight the listing.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we do have such a seasonal market out there. And kind of the season that we're going into is, you know, we've come off of our summer market, and we are going into that fall market with this little break right now during fair time. The fall market's not a bad market to sell in, but you have less than 2 months to take advantage of it as a seller. Right? You want to, you really, if you're going to be on, you want to be on by like October 15th-ish range to take full advantage of it. Because
yeah, because there is that, there's always, well, I shouldn't say always, because with COVID, it changed our last season, but there's always that last little push right before the snow hits.
Yep.
Where you see a lot more buyers out there. It does get more competitive real quick for that time frame, and then it does taper off.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that, yeah, a lot of people ask, when's the right time to buy or sell a house? And my answer is, when it's the right time to buy or sell a house.
Right.
Right. When you try to plan out years in advance of where the market's going to go, it's really hard. I mean, yep. we know that there's going to be basically on average, you know, 4 to 6% appreciation. Yep. But I mean, look at a buyer who went, oh, okay, well, I'm going to hold out for 2 years because it's going to be 4 to 6% appreciation. Well, we just had 14.9% appreciation. So all of that planning, you know, had you know, you want to plan, you want to plan for you know, what's going on in your life now.
It's it's almost impossible to save 14%. On top of all your other liabilities, and if you're currently renting,
exactly.
you're not everybody, but you're good luck hitting that. It's hard to do, so just that's why having a plan is important.
Yeah.
So
when we come back from break, we're going to talk getting into some of those numbers of, again, who's the buyers out there right now, who are the sellers, what are the questions they're asking themselves, so you can be better prepared for when it's time for you to make your next move. We'll be right back.
Don't fall for the billboards or the clickbait. There is no such thing as today's rate. Mortgages and mortgage rates are individual to you. Chad Preby and Eric Bloomstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage are here to show you the formula to get your best rate. Once you know this formula, you can mortgage shop with confidence. Find us online at chadpreby.com. That is chadpreby.com. NMLS 1462493, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
People always ask realtors, what is your commission? But what they should be asking is, what is your rate of return? Commissions only vary by a couple of percent from agent to agent. However, the price per square foot you get just based on their experience and the quality of marketing they use can vary by 10% or more. At Bricks Real Estate, our agents use the right marketing and have the experience to get you top dollar for your house. See what we can do for you at BricksTwinCities.com.
My name is James Tobson with Country Financial. Anyone can sell you insurance, however, is it going to be the insurance you need? When life pops up with its surprises, you want the right coverage. When it comes time to find or renew your policy, give me a call. I would love to review your existing policy and show you what I can do for you. You can email me at james.tobson@countryfinancial.com or give me a call at 651-365-3408.
Hi, I'm Becca, owner of Grey Duck Staging. With today's home buyers beginning their journey exclusively online, the look and feel of your home matters more than ever. Whether it's a simple in-home consultation, a refresh using your current furniture, or a whole home staging, our goal is always the same: showing your home in the best light and helping you achieve the highest sales price possible. To learn more, visit us at greyduckstaging.com or check us out on Instagram at greyduckstaging.
Hi, I'm Ruben with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Everyone knows you should have a home inspection before you buy a home, but we've heard of home buyers being encouraged to skip the home inspection in this crazy market to make their purchase offer more attractive. Now they're facing tens of thousands of dollars in unexpected repairs. I'm telling you now, don't skip the home inspection. Here at Structure Tech, we can get your home inspected quickly, and we offer a full line of services. Visit us online at structuretech.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Today, we're talking about housing trends. We kind of were really focused last segment on some of the stuff going on here in our Twin Cities market and the seasonality to that. But wanted to, get into some of the nitty-gritty of who the home buyers, sellers are that are out there
Their stats right now.
Yeah, the stats of this. Because, you know, like I mentioned in the last segment, you know, when you know your market, you can better target, better focus, better time everything, right, whether you're a buyer or a seller out there. And there are great stats that are available to everybody out there. You know, talk to your agent about these. You know, there's the Minneapolis Association of Realtors, their market trends. They have so many great things that they put out. So it's like the stock ticker for our real estate market. InfoSparks offered
they
through
use it every day.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
I use this tool called Mastermind the Market.
Well, yes, the little videos that we put out there.
It's
yes.
very, very helpful.
Yeah, and that you can find TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. Little plug for us there. Yeah, the Mastermind the Market. Yeah, we have the market meter, which the idea there is to take into consideration multiple factors within our market, and it will predict where sale prices are going to go 60 days out. I mean, I've ran this back 12 years. It's a great calculation, factoring and showing activity, housing affordability, and
you created it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. It was like height of pandemic last year. Things were a little slow, and I always remember these arguments or discussions, I should say, about housing stats. You know, what's the most important? Is it the showing activity? Is it the affordability? Is it the inventory, month supply? You know, all of that stuff coming in. It's like, well, why can't it be all of them?
Right.
And I worked through to put together this kind of 1 to 10 scale of where our market is, and it's spot on to where we are.
And I'm impressed. So I would not be able to do that, to create that type of mathematics.
So
it works well.
Yeah, for somebody who did remedial math in school, I've really learned.
I did advanced math.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I realize I really like the numbers and the stats. So yeah, I mean the market meter there you can find on the Mastermind the Market, Twin Cities Real Estate Show. On that note, the market meter right now we are at a 6.68, I think is where it sits right now, which is still in that seller's market range. And you know, we will see that come down into a balanced market probably in the next 30 days. But you know, like you said, there's right now it gets very week by week.
It does.
You know, lots of you know, but you have MEA and you'll have the
school
cold weather. You
know,
all these different things playing.
When does the snow fall?
Yeah.
Are we going to have an early winter? I heard we're having a long fall, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it after this hot summer. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, talking about home ownership, share of home ownership. Now, these stats come from Zillow Group. They put out these consumer housing trends. I really love the stats that they put out there. And so, like, the average age, or percentage of home ownership by age, breaking it down. And we're seeing a shift a little bit, and this may be due to the cost of housing. For a while there, it seemed like it was shifting a little to the younger side, but now it's basically three groups hold a majority, and it's 22% for those 50 to 59, 22% for those from 60 to 69, and then 23% for those 70 plus. Okay. And so when we talk about, you know, people not moving out.
Is that selling?
No, that's just a share of home ownership.
Oh, got it.
Across the country. But we know that there's a lot of people that are not necessarily doing downsize, necessarily going into, you know, rental retirement communities or things like that,
right,
staying put in their homes a lot longer. So, yeah, I mean, that puts the biggest percentage by generation on the baby boomers, followed by followed by Gen X on that.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, millennials are definitely, I mean, we know that through the classes that we do, you know, they definitely want to get into the market,
right?
Especially with rents moving up the way that they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
I know you were saying your, was it son-in-law?
No, my stepson.
Stepson.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They're looking, the place they were renting, they decided they want to sell, so they're looking for a new rental. And three bedroom single family home, you know, they couldn't find something for under a couple $1,000s a month.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in, I mean, for him, it's like, our plan was, you know, he moved back home. We're going to allow him to live at home rent free and you know, take advantage of that for a little while. And then
save up for a down payment.
Get him into a lower down payment type of loan.
Yep.
I work a lot with first time home buyers, and we had talked about, last year, it was over 40% of the market were first-time home buyers that were buying, which is crazy. And that did add to our low inventory because there's no replenishment there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the rents that my clients are paying are more than what they're paying for their mortgage.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. In the Minneapolis area, the average rent for a one-bedroom apartment is $1,500.
A lot.
A month.
Yeah.
That's for an apartment, not for like a duplex.
Did you say $1,500 for a one bedroom?
For a one bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money for someone coming out of college with student loan debt and everything else, trying to find a career. And yeah.
Well, what's funny is you can get into a townhouse or a condo and be in for, you know, $1,300, $1,400.
Right.
And probably have a couple bedrooms.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing too.
And amenities.
Yeah. And you taught me this, Kirk, is that, you know, when you're buying your first home, this is something I talk to my clients a lot about, is that you're not most likely buying your forever home, right? So maybe your goals at first are buying that single family home, something that you've dreamed about for a long time. But at the end, you maybe go for a townhome or a condo because you have a 3 to 5 year plan, right? But if we do it right for you, set you up with the right loan program, and get you an equity builder, you're then going to buy that single family home 3 to 5 years down the road.
Yeah, and then maybe have a income build and build, save for retirement with a rental that you keep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and on the selling side of things, I mean, you want to, going to the purchase, because a lot of people that are selling, they're buying, right? You want to buy for what you want, what you need today. Right, so many people try to play the market. Well, you know, if I wait, my house will become worth more. Well, yes, that's true, but so will the place you want to buy, right? So if you want to move out of the single family home and get something that is, you know, maybe a detached townhouse or 55 plus or something like that, that's going to keep going up in price too.
Exactly.
You know, you make your money on the buy.
And
you
know, those scenarios, less and less options available. For 55 plus, one level living, it's hard to find.
Well, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's expensive and getting more expensive. That took to my point, right? The longer you wait, the more expensive that's going to become. I will say more and more builders are accommodating to putting up some more single level options that are out there. But I will, the condo market, though, in that realm, there's a fair amount that is available and out there. Okay, so wanted to get to this one. This is kind of an interesting stat, which is a share of homeownership by relationship status, right? So 62% of homeowners are married, 27% divorced, separated, or widowed, and only 11% single or... Yeah,
I think I've worked with all 11%.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like I've worked with that because it sure maybe that's just our market because this is nationwide.
Yeah.
But I mean, I see a lot of people here in the Twin Cities area that you know they know it's a smart move to buy and get into something, so they aren't just waiting until they're married to do that.
Did you guys know that? I talked to first time home buyers about this. More often than not, is that you can, because here's my point, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, anybody blood related to you, sometimes they're willing to want to help you out when you're buying your first house. Did you guys know you can have what they call a non-occupying co-borrower?
No.
So if you have someone out of college, maybe they're not making the money that they want to make yet, or maybe this person's self-employed, the non-occupying co-borrower, we use their income and assets to qualify for that purchase.
And cosign?
Correct.
And purchase? Yeah. Yes. I've had clients do that. Excuse me.
Yeah. So if you're teeter-tottering on that, I think what's the percent of 70% if you're sure? You know, ask around. You know, family members want to help, and that's not a sales tactic. It's just, it's reality. Rather than paying that high rent, you can get yourself into something and pay less and build your own equity.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And you had said earlier about the difference between FHA and conventional, that FHA used to always be the first-time home buyer. That's what you had to do.
Right.
And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, FHA is still a great loan, and at one time was the lowest percentage rate down. It offered a 3.5% down program. Now we have a lot of different conventional products where you can go down to 3%. Bell Mortgage, the company I work for, we go down to 1% to a 620 credit score. So there's a lot of opportunity with that conventional financing now that offers a lesser of a down payment than going FHA. Now, FHA is there because people do need FHA. So not everybody qualifies for a conventional.
But yeah, there are a lot more options out there.
But the first-time home buyers we're talking about don't have to do FHA.
All right, real fun last stat before we wrap up the show here. Okay, percentage of homeowners with at least one dog versus one cat, which is higher, cats or dogs?
For my clients, it's dogs.
Dogs?
Yeah.
It is. It is dogs. That is the answer. So 46% of homeowners have at least one dog.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. Cool.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. Actually surprised at that.
34%.
I wonder how many have two or more.
34%, at least one cat.
Okay. Yeah.
People love their animals.
It's a little cut off at the very bottom.
That makes me happy. Anacondas.
Those are very popular.
That makes me happy to hear, though, that many people own dogs.
Yeah.
I'm a dog freak. I mean, Bricks is dog.
Well, we're super dog friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love having the pets come in. Well, again, hopefully you found these stats valuable. You can find all sorts of great information, resources at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. Again, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. And you can give us a call if you have any real estate questions, buying or selling, 651-303-0019. We'll see y'all next week.